I'm John Osier here at the 2018 NFL Owners Meetings with Steve Wyche of NFL Network. And Steve, one reason I wanted to talk to you this week, you were in Jacksonville during the playoff run. We had a chance to talk on the air. Hadn't had a chance to talk to you since then. Your impressions as you look back on that and, I guess, your memories of it, surprise, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, first off, surprise, I think it took the league by storm that the Jags were in a position to, you know, to play for the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were right there. But then, you know, having the chance to get in that locker room, because I'm rarely in that part of the country, I'm rarely with the Jags, and just seeing all the high draft picks, all the guys they acquired, the Marshall Dariuses of the world, the Calais Campbells, like, wow, this is an incredible assemblage of talent. And then what Tom Coughlin was able to do with Coach Marrone and just kind of bring it all together.
Right.
As much high-priced talent and high draft pick talent as there was, the chemistry. And that's a hard thing to do in the NFL. You see it, John. You can have all the talent in the world, but if you can't bring it together, it's not going to work. And that's what they did. And look, I was at that game in New England. They had it.
Yeah, thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was – but, I mean, I'm just saying they were right there.
Right.
I mean, Stephon Gilmore makes a great play for the Patriots, which takes away a potential touchdown. A couple interesting penalty calls that worked against the Jags.
People watching would not use the term interesting, Steve.
I know.
All right.
But I'm playing it straight
here. Okay, I hear you.
But it's just they're there. You know, now it's hard to get back, but talent-wise, coaching, the pieces are there. Now it's going to be up to the players to kind of recommit and say, we were that close. We might have even been better. We should have been. Now let's get back. Because there's going to be challenges that they haven't gone through yet that they have to get through.
Right. You have a fresh perspective because you cover the entire league. You watch it. You monitor it. Were you surprised that the Coughlin-Caldwell-Marrone dynamic, you know, there's no absolute cookie-cutter way to do things, but that was a little bit of an outlier, a surprise approach, and yet it seemed to work perfectly. Is it just a case where it takes the right people no matter what the makeup is?
I think it takes the right people, but also the right people kind of keeping their egos in a lane because I think from the outside, everyone thought Tom Coughlin's going to go down there and basically coach from the from the throne on high and dictate down to Coach Marrone. That clearly, in talking to people there and Dave Caldwell, that wasn't the case. I mean, Tom Coughlin offered, here's how you may want to handle certain things, but it's up to you. I'm not telling you what to do. Then he's working with Dave Caldwell, or here's how we can position ourselves for contracts in the future. Just really working it all together. So I think the fact that everybody kind of stayed in their respective lanes gave everybody autonomy and accountability for what they did. And I think that's why it worked.
Okay. You've covered the NBA, NFL. It's a different kind of thing to be able to do what Tom did. A clearly great head coach. But not every great head coach can make that transition. A lot of people thought no way he'd be able to do that.
Right.
What does that say about him, you know, I guess his legacy, if you will,
that
you're able to do that? Because it's pretty unique.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question.
Well,
I mean, I don't think people really think about it as his legacy.
Right.
I think it kind of goes to show where he is in life, first off. You heard him as his later years with the Giants. I'm going to spend time with my grandkids. I'm going to do it. So his perspective has changed a little bit. And so I think it does. Legacy is a great way. I think it adds to it. He's a Hall of Fame coach. But now that he's able to make this transition, again, his ego, you didn't see him taking credit for any of this. You saw Doug Marrone.
If anything,
and Dave
stepped
Caldwell
away from it during the playoffs. Very few interviews, very few.
Correct, because we heard Tom Coughlin. But then as a team starts to succeed, you heard Doug Marrone and Blake Bortles and you know, Lawrence Fournette, then all those great defensive players.
Right.
So I think, you know, the fact that he was able to just say, I'm going to sit back and watch and do what I do, kind of an anonymity, and let these guys enjoy the moment because I've enjoyed that moment before. It's their turn. I think that says a lot about his character.
You, we're here at the league meetings. The topic, obviously, is the catch rule. Any confidence on your part that next season will be a better season on that front, or is the catch rule just something that's always going to irritate and nick at fans because of its nature?
I think initially because it's another tweak, but it's going back to what it used to be, basically the old football move.
Okay.
You catch it, get both feet on the ground, you take that third step, and you become a football player.
Okay.
That's the clarity for fans. I think we all know what the rule has been, but with replay, we know what the rule how it's been. We've now, the interpretation of that is completely sideways. And I think replay, factored into that, because the game happens so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the ball moves a little bit as a guy's going down to the ground, no one's going to see it. It looks like a great catch.
Right.
But then a replay over and over and over is going to take
right,
away
where
a guy.
You're underneath and you can
right.
see. Right.
You know, where a guy has just made an incredible play. I mean, that Dez Bryant catch a couple years ago against Green Bay, to me, that's a football play.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was an extraordinary athlete making an extraordinary play, making an extraordinary effort to get into the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was being legislated out. Those great efforts are being legislated out
right.
by replay and content manipulation. Of
right.
the
so and probably not maliciously.
That. No.
They're trying to come up with something that's standard across the board. And the problem is, in this sport, you can't legislate every detail out of it.
You
yeah.
can't. And it also took the teeth away from officials on the field. Like, I'm going to make this call, but let's go up to the booth. And if I'm wrong, they'll fix it. I
right.
mean, so I think this also will reestablish, you know, the confidence in the officials. This is the call. This is how it should be. If I get overturned, fine. But right now, they're going to have to see a lot more
right.
To overturn what I've ruled on the field.
We'll have a final thought on the Jaguars in a minute. But what else are you thinking about this week? What's your passionate topic, if you will?
Well, I mean, look, I know there's a lot of policy and stadium rule and things.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, the football stuff. Where's Ndamukong Suh going to end up
right.
going? Is he going to go to the Rams and join Aaron Donald and Michael Brockers and have
mm-hmm.
a defensive front like the Jacksonville Jaguars,
right.
which it seems like impenetrable? Are there going to be any more trades? You know, is there going to be that discussion of someone to come up to the Giants in two
mm-hmm.
and leapfrog ahead of the Jets to maybe get that quarterback? So these are some of the things we talk about kind of in the shadows and the hallways here and we hear about. So those are the things that, you know, what I like to convey to viewers.
Mm-hmm.
I think the minutiae of these meetings sometimes – it's a nice topic for us reporters to talk about. But
yeah,
in terms
the standing
of,
in the lobbies,
right,
you mean? Is that what you're getting at?
Exactly,
right.
yes. The,
right.
the kind of stalking. But I think the fans want to know,
right.
you know some of the football things. So that's what I'm interested in.
You talked about earlier, tough to get back to where the
yep.
Jaguars were last year. But in a general sense of competitiveness, when you looked at the locker room, when you looked at the situation in Jacksonville, how sustainable moving forward? Is this a team that still has a shot?
Absolutely. And here's why? Because they've got almost everybody locked up.
Okay.
You're not having a bunch of guys in contract situations, because that's what tends to break teams
mm-hmm.
up. You lose a guy here, and they've lost some good wide receivers, you know, Hearns
right.
and Robinson, but they didn't play last year. So when they made
right.
the run. But if you've got this defensive tackle making this much money and this guy up for a contract, he's going to make more than him. You can get those little sideways
right.
hurt feelings in locker rooms. And that's what tends to bust teams up.
Right.
The Jags aren't going through any of that. Okay, they add a new offensive line, but it's going to make that big offensive line even better.
Sure.
But having those things out of the way and taken care
mm-hmm.
of, that's the thing. When Seattle made its back-to-back runs,
mm-hmm.
all those guys were locked up already.
Right.
They didn't have some of the contract jockeying until a year later after. And then that's when things started to get a little
mm-hmm.
funny with that team. So I like the talent. Now the players have to understand everyone's coming for them.
Right.
That division's going to be
different
better.
Thing. Right.
I mean, Deshaun Watson, if he comes back healthy, I mean, the Texans are automatically
mm-hmm.
right back up there. So everyone's got to rededicate themselves, because it's going to be a lot tougher this season than it was last year.
Final question is this. I maintain that if the Jaguars start getting on TV, which I assume they will this year, this is a team that people can attach to with Jalen
mm-hmm.
Ramsey, A.J. Boye, some of the personalities. You were there in Jacksonville. You sort of see this team being able to take off in terms of profile.
Yeah, take the tarps off, right? I mean,
yeah. right.
Look, locally, I think they're big. And they are a team. Look, they've got – we all like the team to root for the underdog, the
sure.
lovable loser. So a lot of people are going to hitch on to that. They've got the cool uniforms.
Right.
You've got all these great personalities. I mean, there's so many people to hang on to. But if they continue to win,
mm-hmm.
okay.
And that's really the thing. You got to
yeah,
win.
You've got to win. I mean, there's only a handful of teams that continue to lose.
Right.
And they've got a fan base like
right.
the Cleveland Browns. I mean, they're faithful.
Right.
Jags fans are faithful, but nationally, I think they win. People are going to latch on to them pretty quickly.
Should be fun. For Steve Weiss, I'm John Osier. Thank you for watching.